Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision podcast on living with the physical environment. I'm so glad you're here because this topic is genuinely fascinating, and once you understand it, it's one of the most rewarding sections to answer in the exam. Whether you're revising tectonic hazards, tropical storms, or climate change, by the end of this episode, you'll have the knowledge, the exam technique, and the confidence to tackle any question the examiners throw at you. Let's start with the big picture. This topic is all about the relationship between people and the physical world, specifically the natural hazards that threaten lives and livelihoods, and how humans respond to them. The examiners want to see that you understand not just what happens, but why it happens, where it happens, and how different groups of people are affected differently. That's the key to scoring highly. Section 1. Tectonic hazards. The Earth's crust is divided into large sections called tectonic plates, which float on the semi-molten mantle below. These plates move very slowly, just a few centimetres per year, driven by convection currents in the mantle. Where plates meet, we call these plate margins, and this is where most earthquakes and volcanic eruptions occur. There are three types of plate margin you absolutely must know. First, constructive margins, where plates move apart. Magma rises to fill the gap, creating new crust. The Mid-Atlantic Ridge is the classic example. Volcanic eruptions here tend to be less explosive. Second, destructive margins, where an oceanic plate collides with a continental plate. Because oceanic crust is denser, it subducts, sinks beneath the continental plate, into the mantle. This creates ocean trenches, fold mountains, and explosive volcanoes. The Andes Mountains and the Pacific Ring of Fire are formed this way. This is also where the most powerful earthquakes occur. Third, conservative margins, where plates slide past each other horizontally. No crust is created or destroyed, but friction builds up enormous stress. When that stress is suddenly released, you get a powerful earthquake. The San Andreas Fault in California is the most famous example. Now, let's talk about the effects of tectonic hazards. This is where candidates often lose marks. You must distinguish between primary effects, caused directly by the hazard, and secondary effects, those that happen as a result of the primary effects. Take the 2010 Haiti earthquake. It measured 7.0 on the Richter scale and struck near Port-au-Prince. Primary effects included over 220,000 deaths, 1.5 million people made homeless, and the collapse of 250,000 homes. Secondary effects included cholera outbreaks and blocked roads preventing aid from reaching survivors. Compare this to the 2011 Tohoku earthquake in Japan, which measured 9.0, far more powerful, yet caused around 16,000 deaths. Why? Because Japan is a high-income country with strict building regulations, earthquake-resistant construction, excellent early warning systems, and well-rehearsed evacuation plans. This comparison is gold for the exam. It shows you understand how wealth affects hazard risk and response. Why do people continue to live in hazard zones? Reasons include fertile soils near volcanoes, economic reasons, people cannot afford to move, lack of awareness of the risk, and belief that hazards won't strike again. Always use a NIMD example to support your answer.
Section 2. Tropical storms. Tropical storms, also called hurricanes in the Atlantic, typhoons in the Pacific, and cyclones in the Indian Ocean, are intense low-pressure weather systems that form over warm tropical oceans. They require sea surface temperatures of at least 27 degrees Celsius to form and develop. The formation process works like this. Warm, moist air rises rapidly from the ocean surface, creating an area of very low pressure. As the air rises, it cools and condenses, releasing huge amounts of energy and forming towering cumulonimbus clouds. The Coriolis effect, caused by the Earth's rotation, causes the system to spin. In the northern hemisphere, tropical storms spin anti-clockwise. In the southern hemisphere, clockwise. The structure of a tropical storm has three key features. The eye, at the centre, is an area of calm, clear skies and very low pressure, typically 20 to 60 kilometres wide. Surrounding the eye is the eye wall, the most dangerous part, where the strongest winds, heaviest rainfall and most intense thunderstorms occur. Beyond the eye wall, spiral rain bands extend outward for hundreds of kilometres. For your named example, Typhoon Haiyan in 2013 is excellent. It struck the Philippines in November 2013 with wind speeds of over 315 kilometers per hour, one of the strongest ever recorded. Primary effects? Over 6,000 deaths, 4 million people displaced, and the city of Tacloban almost completely destroyed. Secondary effects? Disease outbreaks, food shortages, and economic devastation. Immediate responses included international aid. The UK pledged £50 million. Long-term responses included the Build Back Better programme and improved early warning systems. Climate change is making tropical storms more intense, though not necessarily more frequent. Warmer sea surface temperatures provide more energy to fuel storms. Higher sea levels increase the risk of storm surges. This is an important synoptic link, connecting tropical storms to climate change. Section 3. Climate change. The evidence for climate change is compelling and comes from multiple sources. Ice cores from Antarctica show carbon dioxide and temperature levels going back 800,000 years, and current CO2 levels are higher than at any point in that record. Retreating glaciers. The Rhone Glacier in Switzerland has retreated by over 1,300 metres since 1900. Rising sea levels. Global sea levels have risen by around 20 centimetres since 1900. And temperature records. 2023 was the hottest year ever recorded globally. Causes of climate change fall into two categories, natural and human. Natural causes include Milankovitch cycles, changes in the Earth's orbit and tilt, volcanic eruptions releasing ash and sulfur dioxide that temporarily cool the planet, and variations in solar output. Human causes are the dominant driver of current warming. Burning fossil fuels releases carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas that traps heat in the atmosphere. Deforestation reduces the number of trees absorbing CO2. Agriculture, particularly livestock farming, releases methane, which is an even more potent greenhouse gas than CO2. The effects of climate change are wide-ranging. Environmental effects include melting ice caps and glaciers, rising sea levels threatening low-lying countries like Bangladesh and the Maldives, more frequent and intense extreme weather events, and threats to biodiversity. Human effects include food insecurity as droughts and floods damage crops, climate refugees forced to leave their homes, and economic damage from extreme weather. Responses to climate change fall into two categories, and you must know the difference. Mitigation strategies aim to reduce or prevent climate change from happening. Examples include switching to renewable energy sources like solar and wind power, improving energy efficiency, planting trees, and international agreements like the Paris Agreement of 2015, which aims to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. Adaptation strategies accept that some climate change is inevitable and focus on adjusting to its effects. Examples include building seawalls and flood defences, developing drought-resistant crops, creating early warning systems for extreme weather, and managed coastal retreat. A key exam tip: always be able to explain the difference between mitigation and adaptation with specific examples. Many candidates confuse them or use them interchangeably, and that costs marks.
Now, let's talk exam technique, because knowing your content is only half the battle. First, command words. When you see the word describe, the examiner wants you to say what something is like. Give two or three developed features with supporting detail. When you see explain, you need to give reasons. Use connective phrases like this means that, as a result, and this leads to. When you see assess or to what extent, you need to weigh up evidence on both sides and reach a clear judgment. Second, always use named examples. The mark scheme will specifically credit named examples with accurate detail. Don't just say
an earthquake in a poor country, say the 2010 Haiti earthquake, which measured 7.0 and killed over 220,000 people. That specificity is what separates a grade 5 from a grade 8. Third, don't confuse primary and secondary effects. This is one of the most common mistakes. Primary effects happen directly because of the hazard. Secondary effects happen as a consequence of the primary effects. So, in an earthquake, buildings collapsing is a primary effect. Fires breaking out because gas pipes rupture is a secondary effect. Cholera spreading because water pipes are damaged is also a secondary effect. Fourth, don't confuse immediate and long-term responses. Immediate responses happen in the first hours and days. Search and rescue, emergency shelter, food and water. Long-term responses happen over months and years. Rebuilding infrastructure, improving warning systems, economic recovery. Fifth, for climate change questions, always distinguish between natural and human causes, and between mitigation and adaptation strategies. These distinctions are explicitly tested in the mark scheme. Now, quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions and you try to answer before I give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What temperature must ocean water be for a tropical storm to form? The answer is at least 27 degrees Celsius. Question 2. What is the difference between a primary and secondary effect of a tectonic hazard? Primary effects are caused directly by the hazard itself. Secondary effects occur as a result of the primary effects. Question 3. Name one mitigation strategy and one adaptation strategy for climate change. Mitigation: switching to renewable energy. Adaptation: building seawalls or developing drought-resistant crops. Question 4. What is subduction? Subduction is when a denser oceanic plate sinks beneath a less dense continental plate at a destructive margin. Question 5. Name a named example of a tropical storm and give two primary effects. Typhoon Haiyan, 2013, Philippines. Primary effects: over 6,000 deaths and 4 million people displaced. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you struggled with any, go back and review that section. To summarise this episode, living with the physical environment covers 3 main areas: tectonic hazards, caused by plate movement at constructive, destructive and conservative margins, with case studies of Haiti 2020 and Japan 2011, tropical storms, forming over warm oceans above 27 degrees, with Typhoon Haiyan 2013 as your key example, and climate change, with both natural and human causes, and both mitigation and adaptation strategies. The key skills the examiner are looking for are using named examples with specific detail, distinguishing between primary and secondary effects, distinguishing between immediate and long-term responses, and using precise geographical terminology throughout. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, every mark you earn comes from specific knowledge and clear explanation. Good luck in your exams, and I'll see you in the next episode.